Hello friends, today we will be seeing chapter number 33, that is known as ratio analysis. Now trust me friends, this is one such chapter that is going to give us lot of understanding and indications about how companies fundamentally is strong or not. This particular chapter will help us to analyze how the company has performed in the market over a period of time. I believe everyone would be remembering one fact that some amount of this topic we have also seen in some subject known as financial management 1 during your first year part. But in this part, when you are going to see under investment management, trust me friends, this is going to be an advanced version of ratio analysis. This is going to help us to understand how company has performed its task and is been company worthy enough for our investment or not. And lot of different parameters that will help as an analyst to help you to understand how this company is performing in the market. So let us go ahead and see the different dynamics of what ratio analysis is all about. Now in this chapter, as I told you earlier, we will be seeing different ratios, their meanings, their functions, their activities, and how much importance this ratio has got in the company's performance and also to your life, because this ratio will tell you and help you to decide should you invest in this company or should you not invest in this company. Also, we will be seeing the limitations of these ratios with the help of understanding how we can use this ratio or what is the scope of this ratio analysis in this particular part. Let us now go ahead and see different ratios and its functioning and attributes, how ratio helps organization and an investor to understand how things perform. Now, before I go ahead and explain you the different dynamics of ratios, let me ask you one simple question. You know, last year the rainfall was amazingly superb for a country or an economic growth of country like India. Now this year, what would be the perception of rainfall is going to be based on how the climatic conditions would be formed. Now when you compare these such parameters to analyze how this particular environmental factors are coinciding with the development of the economy will help us to understand will there will be a rainfall or not rainfall. Now my point to put this question over here, a vague question, a lot of you would be thinking, how come rainfall and suddenly in between? My point to put in this rainfall question over here was to understand that there has been complete transformation of agricultural products. As for the last year, the output has increased for this year. Now this ratio, I mean how much it has increased or how much it has not increased, gives you an indication, gives the economy an indication, gives government an indication. How much should they invest in such kind of activities? How much should they not invest in such kind of activities? So this part is going to be more about financial ratios, not any other ratios. Remember, ratios in whatever you study in this particular part are always mathematically and financially applicable to business activities. Let us go and see what ratio analysis is up to and how does it help. As it is mentioned over here, ratio analysis is another tool available to the investor to determine the financial health of the organization in which you may want to invest. So ratio analysis helps you to decide how much to invest, when to invest, where to invest, how to invest with the given parameters based on which you take a decision. Similarly, ratios allows investor to do what? The ratios allows investor to do a lot of activities. One such activity is to analyze the performance of the company. Remember, if you want to analyze the performance of the company, the best tool available for you to analyze the performance of the company is none other than ratio analysis. Simply because that compares the company's facts, that compares the company's actual activities in the business and compare it that with that of similar companies in the industry. How similar companies in the industry are performing, you can identify with the help of ratio analysis. Say for example, in the industry, the sales of the total industry for this year was 25,000 crores. Your company's sales alone was approximately 15,000 crores. So this ratio helps us to compare, helps us to analyze that your contribution in the industry's growth was the highest. So you become the highest amount of market share of this kind of company industry's sales. So similarly, how does your company perform vis-a-vis the industry's performance? If you want to analyze and check out that, are you investing in one of the best companies in the industry or are you investing in one of the worst companies of the industry? Ratio analysis gives a lot of help. Similarly, you can also try and identify the SWOT analysis. What is SWOT made up of? Yes, can someone tell me? Yes, Pooja, can you tell me what is SWAT made up of? Yes, Abhishek, can you tell me what is SWAT made up of? Very good. Ashish, yes, superb. SWAT is absolutely, Ashish, what you have correctly identified. SWAT means strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So, ratio analysis helps you to determine relative weakness and strength of the company. It will tell you how the company's SWOT analysis, that is particularly strength and weakness, how company is performing in the market, you can analyze with the help of ratio analysis. So, this chapter is going to revolve around the SWOT analysis and how does it function in the development of the company and the organization. Let us now move ahead and check out what other aspects we have got for ratio analysis. So, ratios put figures into perspective. So, when you see the ratios, it will give us figures, numericals, which helps us to actually understand how this company is actually performing. If correctly chosen, they establish meaningful relationships to measure profitability, liquidity, growth, expansion, diversification, etc. of a company. So, if you select the parameters properly, if you select the parameters correctly, these parameters will help you to understand one thing, that is this company focusing on profitability, is this company focusing on liquidity, is this company focusing on, say for might be example like expansion kind of activity, is this company looking upon for. So, lot of the parameters when you take into consideration, the ratios will give you indications as far as possible for these activities. Ratios are strong pointers. They cannot provide answers, but they prompt investors to ask questions to seek answers. So, remember, ratios are actually not giving us any kind of activities. Ratios, remember one important aspect of ratio analysis. The answers are not important. The interpretation of the answers are important. Say, for example, I tell you, company has made a sales or company has made 25. Company has made 25. What is this 25? And it has to be backed with some attribute. 25% sales, if I say company has made 25% sales, so what? So what? But if I say company has made 25% sales more as compared to last year, then it gives us a lot of meaning. So remember, friends, ratios are, I mean, the ratios itself is not important. The answer itself is not important. The interpretation of the answer is very important, because the interpretation tells us what is the actual meaning of that ratio. And hence it is said that when you compare two parameters for calculating ratios, if you compare two parameters to calculating ratios, these parameters will tell us and define us how the company is performing in the market. And that parameters with the answer will give us a different meaning for how the company's performance is. So, we study from several financial ratios, only few important ones for investment. So, we have what, not less than 45 to 50 ratios as far as financial ratios are concerned. And we can make many, many more. However, components are involved in business, that much ratios we can identify. But from investment perspective, whichever ratios are going to be present, we will be focusing in this chapter only on those, because of the fact that here for us, the important aspect or important attribute is the investment. How can an investor take a decision? Should he invest? Should he not invest? So to understand how does he invest or how does he not invest, we have to analyze the ratios particularly for investment related activities. Let us now go and check out the ratio analysis particularly for investment. So, the first ratio particularly important for investment is market value. Now, what is market value? I believe everyone knows we have got two types of markets as far as capital market is concerned. I repeat, we have two types of market as far as capital market is concerned. We have got primary market, secondary market. Yes, come on, let me ask these questions to a lot of you sitting over here. What do you mean by primary market? Yes, Abhishek, can you tell me what do you mean by primary market? Okay, Abhishek, very good. I want somebody else. Yes, Briju, can you tell me what do you mean by primary market? Okay, very good. Now, let me ask this question to Lekha. Yes, Lekha, can you tell me what do you mean by primary market? Superb. Primary market is one such market. Very good. Primary market is one such market in which for the first time, any issue is done. That is in its primary market. Very good. What do you mean by secondary market? Yes, somebody. Okay. Very good. Superb. That's a great for me to understand. Thank you, Vaibhav, what you have answered. Vaibhav tells me that secondary market is a market where primary market instruments are issued, are traded on the secondary market. Very good. This market value, what we are seeing over here, is related to what? Secondary market. When equity shares are issued in the primary market, they get traded on the secondary market. Now, the secondary market, when it gets traded, the market value is nothing but the value of the shares existing on the secondary market. So, ratios relevant for determining market value of a company are, so we have got few ratios that will help us to understand and determine what is the market value of the company. What do we mean by market value? What is the value of the company in the market? Now, we have got few billionaires in India. We have got Mukesh Ambani from Reliance Industries. We have got Ratan Tata from Tata Industries. Then we have got Adi Parmeshwar Godrej from Godrej Industries. Then we have got Venu Gopal Dutt from Videocon Industries, and many, many more such personalities in India who are super billionaires. Now, in this group of people, when you have to identify and you have to check out actually, are they super rich? You can calculate with the help of, or how do they say they are super rich, they are billionaires, they are the richest person on this earth. What makes them to tell that thing? They can tell those things because of the market value. What is the market value of their investment, or what is the market value of the company they own, tells us the real story that how rich that particular individual or the company is. So we have got market value. Now there are a few ratios that help us to determine market value. To name the first ratio, which is going to help you to understand what is the market value of the company, is price earnings ratio. Price earnings ratio is the first ratio that helps you to determine market value of a company. Now, what is price earning ratio? To calculate price earning ratio, formalize PE ratio is equal to MPS upon EPS, where MPS is market price per share upon EPS is earnings per share. Very good. So now, price earnings ratio helps you to understand how the company's market price in the share market is, and how the company's earnings per share is as per the books profit, what the company has earned out of the business activities. So that helps us to identify the price earnings ratio. As I just mentioned you, see, this ratio is calculated by dividing market price of a share by dividing it with earnings per share or dividend per share. So that is basically a price earnings ratio. In developed economies, we have got few developed economies like US, UK, Japan, Germany, Australia, and many more such kind of things. In developed economies, PE ratios averages out to approximately 15, while in developing economies, they are more than 20, as companies are expected to grow with the economy. Now, remember one thing, price earnings ratio. This ratio is very, very important for every investor. Say, for example, Akriti, if you are going to invest, let me give example. Say, for example, Abdul, if you are going to invest, or matter of fact, say, for example, Ravi, you are going to invest. Whenever you invest, the first important ratio you need to check out of any company is going to be the PE ratio. It is price earning ratio, whose formula to calculate is market price per share upon earnings per share. This ratio would tell you how the company has performed comparing the market price. Who decides the market price of the share? Yes, can someone tell me who decides the market price of the share? If the share market price of a company is 200, it goes from 200 to 200. Achha, tell me, does this market price, does the prices of the shares in the stock market remain static, stable? Is it driven continuously throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the year? Will it remain the same? No, very good, absolutely. It fluctuates. They are volatile in nature. They will continuously go up and down, up and down, up and down. So, on what basis, or who makes this particular up and down prices? Who makes the market's price of the shares go up and down? Who does it? Yes, who does it? Very good, superb, amazing. Can we have a round of applause for Rujuta? She has answered superbly amazing, that the market price of the shares goes up and down based on what? Market forces of demand and supply. Very good. Superb, Rujuta. Now, moving ahead to the fact that we have got earnings per share. Now, earnings per share is because of what? Because of the book profit. how the company has earned out of the actual operations of the business. It is the same in developing or developed economies. The market price per share usually would be 15 times. 15 times means what? Say for example, your earnings per share as per the books is 20. Is 20. So might be your company's share prices in the stock market would be 300. But in developing economies, economies like Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and many such nations, the market price per share, basically the price earnings ratio, would be 20 times more or somewhat near to 20 times, which tells us that if say for example 20 is your company's price, then 20 times more, which means 400 could be or might be the price of your share. That is basically the price earnings ratio. So this helps us to understand that as per the books, market is more, or as per the market, books are less. How exactly the parameters? So overall, I just want to tell you one part, one thing about price earnings ratio is that, friends, that it helps us to understand the comparison between how books are telling us the earnings of the company and how market is actually earning, or how market is reacting to the company's growth story, or how market is reacting with regards to demand and supply prices of the shares. So price earnings ratio is one such ratio that helps us to determine the market value of a company. We have got one more ratio, which is known as market to book ratio. Now, market to book ratio is something basically calculated by dividing market price of a share by its book value. Now, what do we mean by book value? What is the book value? The book value is the value of the company's earnings because of the book activities. How? Based on the books, the company has been able to earn money. The ratio indicates the value investors place on the company. It can also suggest in certain circumstances that the assets of the companies are understated. So this ratio helps us to understand one thing, one important fact, that is the company overvalued in the market or is the company undervalued in the market, and vice versa also. Is the company overvalued in the books or is the company undervalued in the books? So market to book ratio will give us the indication how the book parameters or how the book profit vis-a-vis the market value has been performing for the business. The book value is determined from the balance sheet, where assets are stated at historical cost, and hence the ratios need to be used with caution. This is the important parameter. How do you calculate the book value? Remember, book value is determined from the balance sheet, where assets are stated at historical cost. Historical cost means what? Say for example, company had got land and a building 20 years back at 5 lakh rupees in India. Till date, company has got the same land and building in the books. It is going to be at 5 lakh rupees only. But 20 years hence, the rate of that land and building would not be, as of the today's scenario, would not be 5 lakh. It would be, might be 50 crores because it is in a prime location. So this 5 lakhs, when we are taking into consideration where the market price is today's scenario and book value is 20 years back. So historical cost you are comparing with the current profit, current price. So when you compare this thing, it will give an absurd answer. But this is also one of the parameters that help you to understand that how market and books are related to each other, because books are usually, normally and definitely going to be on the basis of historical cost. So this is how the market to book ratio also helps you to understand the market value of the shares. Now we have got the earnings ratio. Now after seeing the market value, we are going to see the earnings ratios. Now this ratio will help us to determine earnings of a company, and these ratios are going to help us to understand how the company's earnings are actually happening. This ratio will help us to also identify that company's earnings are as per the requirement of the investors or not. Also, these ratios will help us to inform us one important parameter, that how the industry is performing and how the company's earnings are happening. In this ratio, like earnings per share is one of the key ratio for understanding the earnings parts. Now, this ratio shows an investor's earnings attributable to an ordinary share in a year. So, in a year, how much investor's money has earned or not can be identified with the help of earnings per share. Now, say for example, you are shareholder of a company. Now, when you are shareholder of the company, if you want to identify How much your shares, as per the books, has actually given you earnings can be identified with the help of earnings per share ratio. This ratio is calculated by net profit after tax and dividends to preference shareholders by numbers of shares. So the formula to calculate the earnings per share is NPAT, that is net profit after tax, minus preference dividend divided by number of shares outstanding. Now this ratio will help us to also identify how much earnings the shareholder are actually gaining because of the book's profit. This ratio is very important for a lot of shareholders and investors, because this ratio tells us, this particular shareholder, that as per the books, what is his earnings, and it helps the investor to take a decision that should he still be invested in such a company or should he sell the shares of this company and move on to some other company. This ratio is that much important. The ratio does not consider the amount of assets, finance or capital requires to generate the income. So this ratio does not focuses on how much company is going to take loan from the market, how much amount of assets are involved in earning of the business of the money, income of the company, or how the company is performing. This ratio just checks about how much profit at the end of the business in that particular year company has earned, minus the dividends what they are going to pay to the preference shareholder, divided by number of shares in the market. That particular will give the indication and preference of the earnings per share as far as earnings are concerned. Next is dividend payout. Now this ratio helps us to understand how much amount of dividends are being offered to the shareholders. So this ratio is also an important parameter for the earnings ratio. Very good, friends. Now this ratio shows the amount of dividend paid out of the earnings. The balance is put back into the company, and this allows investors to assess long-term prospects of the company. Now, dividend payout, as the name suggests, dividend payout is one such ratio that helps the investor or the shareholder to understand from the earnings of the business of the company how much amount of dividend the company has given to the shareholders and how much amount of money has been plowed back into the business. This particular ratio also helps the shareholders to understand one more important aspect, that is long-term prospects of the company. That is, what is the long-term objective of the company? Is company taking all its funds and distributing the shareholders in form of dividends, or is company taking out the funds from the instead of paying to the shareholders dividend, the company is taking out that funds and again plowing it back in the business. What is the objective of the company can also be analyzed with the help of dividend payout ratio. It is expressed as a percentage and calculated by dividing dividend amount by net surplus available for distribution. So it is going to help us to understand with the help of the fact that how much amount of dividend company is going to pay divided by number of shareholders. So that will give us dividend payout per share. What is the dividend shareholders are earning can be analyzed with the help of dividend payout ratio. The ratio is not an indicator of profitability of a company. It says whether company believes in expanding from its own resources or company believes in borrowing from the market. See, there are two situations. First situation, case one, in which there might be a possibility, there might be a chance that company wants to give dividend to the shareholders and company borrows funds from the market. There may be case two, where company feels, why to borrow from the market when we have got the money? Let us not share the profits with the shareholders, but use this money for business expansion processes. So this ratio will help the shareholders to analyze, and as an analyst also, it is helpful for people to analyze also that this particular ratio tells them that how much company is ready to take the activities in long-term perspective. Is company looking forward in a long-term objective purpose, or company is just wanting to satisfy the shareholders in a given run of time and then let the business run in the way how exactly it is running. So that is what this dividend payout ratio helps the company to also analyze the ratio, which is known as earnings ratio. I hope everyone has understood the earnings part. So far we have seen two parameters. First was market value ratios, and second we saw earnings ratio. Now we are moving into the third genre of understanding what different kinds of ratios are available and how these ratios are going to help. The third genre or third particular level of ratios are known as leverage or gearing ratio. This is a new term for everyone. Leverage or gearing. Leverage basically, in a layman's term, means risk. Gearing means the bearing the company has as far as its activities are concerned. how much amount of bearing or how much amount of gearing the company has vis-a-vis the borrowings what the company has done. So this ratio is going to help us to, the ratios involved in this will help us to identify the company's burden. How much is the company having burden on themselves vis-a-vis the activities what they are doing. So leverage, gearing or coverage is a term used to describe the extent assets are covered by liabilities. How much amount of assets company possesses are because of borrowing funds from the market can be analyzed with the help of leverage, gearing or coverage ratios. These ratios also helps the investors to understand how much company is having the borrowed from the funds from the market, how much company has got the liabilities from in the market, how much company are yet to pay to the market. So this ratio helps not only investors but shareholders and also the analyst to understand how much this company has got the burden on themselves. High leverage indicates that the company is largely relying on outside funds for financing its assets. So it's very simple, friends. When you have got high leverage or high gearing ratio or high coverage ratio, it indicates that the company is highly dependent on the outside companies for borrowing the funds. Okay, because it gives us the understanding and a feel that the company is basically not able to manage the funds requirement from its own pockets, and company that thus has to borrow funds from the market. This is the biggest pain what a company can get. But the finance manager of the company looks it in a different angle. Finance manager of the company thinks that when I borrow funds from the market, I might be in a position to balance the tax activity of the business. On the other side, an analyst may look that the company is not capable enough to manage its funds. So here, the analyst has to understand the finance manager's responsibility role and what the finance manager's outlook is. Based on that, the analyst needs to analyze. It might not be the reason why company is borrowing from the market because company is not able to fund its own business expansion, but it might also be a reason that finance manager wants to reduce the tax. Because when you borrow funds, you pay interest. And interest is basically a tax deductible avenue which can reduce your tax to a huge amount of aspect. So this is what might be a parameter as far as finance manager thinks. So always what we see is not exactly what it is. So this is also one of the reasons. So leverage gearing ratio use or it helps us to understand how much assets are covered by the liabilities. Remember, friends, creditors prefer to invest in companies where owners have larger stake in the company by way of equity and reserves. An increase in leverage reduces ability of company to access capital markets and increase cost of capital. In other words, simply it means what? Creditors always would want to invest in companies which has got low gearing, which means in the companies where the money is invested by the shareholders more, creditors feel comfortable. You know why? Because if you are a creditor, Arun, say for example, you are a creditor, and when you want to invest in company, the most important parameter, Arun, you would look for is that is this company having enough amount of funds borrowed from the market or they have put their own funds in the business? When company has borrowed a lot of funds from the market, what happens then? What happens then? There would be a chance that company may become bankrupt, company may shut down the business and run away. But on the other side, when company has actually invested the money in the business, when company has got 90% of money from their own pockets invested, what happens is that company becomes fully liable. Company is going to be very, very secure. Company is going to be very, 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 very sincere in its efforts to function in the market. But when they have got a lot of borrowed fund, they may be lethargic. They may be, very, very, in a situation where in their own safe and cozy mode, not wanting to do a lot of good activities for the business. Might be they are happy that they have borrowed funds and running the business because of those funds, and they might take some chances. But when funds are from their own pocket, it becomes all the more responsibility for the company's performance or company's performer to work in proper manner and make sure the company does not fail down. This is what helps this ratios com covering, in this particular group, that is leverage or gearing or coverage ratios, will help us to analyze that how much money actually company has borrowed from the market. And creditors usually prefer, friends, what kind of amount? That company's creditors prefer in which there are less amount of funds borrowed from the market. Because Arun, if you are there, if you have to invest, you will check out, is 90% money invested by the owner itself और 90% फ्रॉम द मार्केट दे हैव बोरोड, राइट और रॉन्ग अरुण? वेरी गुड, एब्सोल्युटली क्लियर. लेट अस सी, दिस रेशियो ऑल्सो हेल्प्स अस इन गुड ईयर्स कंपनीज विद हायर गेयरिंग एंजॉय गुड प्रॉफिट्स, बट वेन कंडीशन आर एडवर्स द प्रॉफिट्स फॉल सिग्निफिकेंटली एंड समटाइम्स रिजल्ट इवन इन लॉसेस. सो एट टाइम्स वॉट मे ऑल्सो हैपन्स फ्रेंड्स इज दैट when sometimes it may be that company is having very good years and company is doing very very well in the market, company sales ratios are absolutely very wonderful, though they have got lot of high gearing ratios, they have borrowed lot of funds from the market, but company is able to perform, company is able to earn, company is able to give the interest properly on time, and company is performing very well. But when the times are bad and when the orders are not coming in the market, coming from the market, and company is not able to perform, what happens is that it exactly reverses the situation, what the situation of the company is at that particular moment. And hence, leverage or gearing ratio helps us to understand how the company is actually performing. We have got few ratios under leverage or gearing ratios. To name for one of them, it is liabilities to assets ratio. Now, what this ratio is famous for? This ratio is a pure measure of asset coverage. Has the company, does the company has got enough amount of capacity to take care of the liabilities from its assets or not? It indicates the extent to which the firm is financed by creditors. So this ratio will also give us indication that how much creditors have given funds, how much is the contribution of creditors in the business. Liabilities in the ratio include both current and long term, and assets include intangibles like goodwill and deferred assets. Sorry, assets exclude. So as far as assets are concerned, there would be no tangible, no intangible assets, because intangible assets are just out of the intangible activities which are hypothetically made. For example, we have got intangible assets like goodwill, deferred assets. We have got examples of intangible assets are patents, copyrights, trademarks, royalties, and many more. So all these assets would be excluded, else all things would be included. So liabilities to assets ratio is basically a parameter that will help creditors to analyze how much assets of the company is sponsored because of their money. If 80% of the assets are bought because of the creditors' money, creditors would be very worried. Might there be a chance that company would lock out, company would say that they are bankrupt and the company want to shut down? That would be a possibility or chance. Hence, creditors prefer always lower activities. Creditors prefer always that from their money, the company should buy assets very low, and from company's money they should buy assets more. Clear with everyone? Very good. Now, the next ratio, which is also a part of leverage, gearing, or coverage ratio, is debt to net worth. Debt is basically how much borrowed, and net worth is nothing but combination of equity share capital or equity shares plus reserves and surplus. This ratio also indicates to extent to which the firm is financed by the creditors. This is also one ratio or a parameter that will give you understanding that how much creditors have given loan to the company. Debt includes capital leases also, and net worth is calculated by subtracting intangible assets from shareholders' equity. There are different ways in which you can calculate net worth. As I give example, net worth is also equity share capital plus reserves and surplus. You can also calculate net worth by deducting intangible assets from shareholders' equity. So intangible assets means what? We have got goodwill, patents, all this we will exclude from the shareholders' equity. The debt to net worth ratio of 3 indicates that for every 3 rupees contributed by creditors, owners have only 1 rupee interest in the firm. So say for example, if the ratio of debt to net worth is 3:1, I repeat, if the ratio of debt to net worth is 3:1, what does this ratio indicate? That for every 3 rupees contributed by creditors, owners have contributed just 1 rupee for the business. And creditors would not always tolerate such kind of ratios. Creditors prefer always lower ratio. Creditors always want that they invest in companies wherein their money chances of getting back is high, and not situations where their money chances going lost is very high. Clear with everyone? So again, debt to net worth is nothing but a ratio that is going to help creditors a lot to identify how much amount of money they have invested in the business and how much amount of money has been invested in the company by the actual shareholders.